The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. Shavua Tov, how are you doing?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. It's good that Tisha B'Av's out of the way. And we woke up to an interesting story which says that more than 1,000 Palestinian security prisoners in Israeli jails are actually studying for university degrees while they're in prison. And this is out of a total of something like 5,700 prisoners. And this is despite the fact that the Israeli prison service says that they are upholding a ruling by a court in 2015, which actually denied Palestinian prisoners the right to enroll at universities. But apparently they still are enrolled at universities, more than 1,000 of them. 20% of Palestinian prisoners claim to be enrolled and studying at universities while in prison. So an interesting little snippet before we start the main stuff. You've had a fun time on Twitter this morning, how would I see?
Yeah, well, lots and lots of talk about what went on yesterday on the Temple Mount. I'd like to actually talk about that story because obviously, you know, it becomes a very divisive topic, and certain, you know, some people portraying it as though Israeli security forces just decided to open fire against Muslim worshippers. Obviously, it's not the full story, and I'd like to actually understand what the story is without sort of going into sort of the emotion of it. What actually happened yesterday?
So as far as I can tell, because obviously I wasn't personally there, and so I'm also reliant upon reports that have come from the site. But let's start by saying that Tisha B'Av this year, yesterday, by the way, it wasn't really the 9th of Av yesterday. Tisha B'Av, of course, was delayed by a day because the 9th of Av this year fell on Shabbat on Saturday, and we don't fast on Saturday except for Yom Kippur. And so Tisha B'Av was delayed by a day. And that turned out to coincide exactly with the Muslim festival of Eid al-Adha, which is a festival that commemorates the incident that took place where Abraham was eventually spared of the instruction that he was given to kill his son. And, you know, while we also celebrate that to some degree, and of course this is an incident that at least in our theology we believe took place at the location of Har Moriah, Mount Moriah, which is where the Temple Mount stands today. So was yesterday the feast of El Adha, which Muslims commemorate. And in fact, there were tens of thousands of Muslim worshippers who turned out on the Temple Mount. Traditionally, the Muslims come in the morning to pray on the feast of El Adha. That's what is their tradition. And in fact, yesterday was no exception. There were tens of thousands of them. And in fact, the authorities had put out a special call for people come to the Temple Mount to the Al-Aqsa Mosque to pray because of the fact that it happened to coincide with Tisha B'Av. And even though there is a standing order in place at the moment that Jews who ascend the Temple Mount are not entitled to pray on the Temple Mount, and indeed are not even allowed to bring any religious artifact, any religious items, a talit or tefillin or a sidur or anything that might be considered to be part of, something religious. Tisha B'Av is one of those days which is a little exceptional, and the authorities do allow Jews to go up and to pray on the Temple Mount, given that Tisha B'Av is the day that we commemorate the destruction of the temples that stood on that particular site. And so it is traditional, and it has been traditional in the past, for Jews to be allowed onto the Temple Mount and to pray there. And yesterday was no exception. And in fact, Prime Minister Netanyahu was consulted on Thursday about the potential clash, and he ruled on Thursday that we should find a way, the police should find a way, the security services should find a way to allow Israelis, to allow Jews to ascend the Temple Mount as usual on Tisha B'Av without any clashes or without any incitement towards the Muslim worshippers. But of course, the Muslim worshippers were ready. They came with an agenda to try somehow to prevent Jewish worshippers from ascending the Temple Mount. And in the end, the official figures from the police show that 1,729 Jewish worshippers actually went onto the Temple Mount yesterday. And this is despite the fact that there was only a 2-hour period during the whole day during which Jewish worshippers were actually allowed onto the Temple Mount. It was originally scheduled to be 4 hours, but due to the clashes that took place, the police decided to reduce the amount of time for Jewish worshippers to ascend the Temple Mount. And so in the end, it only wound up being 2 hours for the Jews to go onto the Temple Mount. There were people injured. There were Muslim worshippers injured. The police did take steps in order to break up the crowd. There was apparently quite a threatening crowd, and the police did take action in order to break up to do some crowd control. There were Jewish worshippers who were injured. There were some police who were injured. Fortunately, from what we can gather, there were no serious injuries reported, certainly as far as we can tell. But there certainly was definitely a flashpoint on the Temple Mount yesterday, and this whole this coming together of the two holy days between the two religions really contributed towards a very, very serious situation arising where people could have been much, much more severely injured and even killed if it hadn't been for the police trying to create some control. So this is very unfortunate because, you know, as I've said on numerous occasions before, Muslims are given freedom to worship on the Temple Mount. Jews are not given freedom to worship on the Temple Mount except for Tisha B'Av and special occasions. So it's very unfortunate that just on the one day when Jews really could have had the opportunity, according to the rules laid down by the authorities, it was really spoiled by the fact that Muslim worshippers were intent on preventing this from happening. And this was nothing to do with preventing the Muslim worshippers from doing what they wish to do. This was just simply us saying, you guys go ahead and do what you wish to do, and we will do what we wish to do, and there's enough place for both of us to manage without having to clash in any way if we are willing to find a way to pray side by side. Unfortunately, that did not seem to be the case yesterday.
All right, Anthony, thank you. That certainly certainly clarifies what happened yesterday on the Temple Mount. Israeli security services succeeded over the weekend to arrest the suspected killers of Dvir Sorek. He was murdered in the early hours of Thursday morning. How were they found?
So the security services really were very, very active. We reported the story as a breaking story on Thursday morning when I had the chance to talk to you. It was something that we had just heard about. Dvir Sorek's name at that stage hadn't been released for publication, and his family were just coming to terms with the huge tragedy and loss that had taken place. The story is that Dvir Sorek was part of Hester Yeshiva program. He was studying at a yeshiva. He'd been to Jerusalem to buy some books as a present for the rabbis who were teaching him. The Hester Yeshiva program is part of an army coordinated program. In other words, he was officially part of the IDF, even though he wasn't in uniform or on active service at the time. And it seems as if that this was just an innocent young man returning back from a trip to Jerusalem where he'd been shopping to buy some books, and he was simply attacked opportunistically by these individuals who decided that they wanted to murder somebody. I mean, they obviously had it in their plans, and he happened to be the unfortunate person who they found at that hour of the night. And since then, security services have been working tirelessly to identify the individuals of concern. They found them in the Palestinian village of Beit Kachil, and a number of people were arrested, including two people who are believed to be the perpetrators of the attack. The car was also a car was also found, which they believe was part of the attack. This is all in the area north of Hebron, and so unfortunately now the security services are needing to deal with the reality of a 24-year-old and a 30-year-old, both from the same family, two terrorists who had no prior convictions, they had no previous records at all of having been in prison or having been arrested of any sort, but they found somehow the opportunity to kill this young man without cause, without reason. His body was just left by the side of the road after he had been killed, and there was really very little that he apparently could have done to help himself. So, you know, it was good that the security services were very active. They've managed somehow to find the perpetrators, and in fact there are reports this morning that the security services are even now planning to demolish the home of this family to whom those individuals belonged. And, you know, once again, this is a highly controversial act, and I'm sure that we're going to hear a lot more about this in the event that this home is indeed demolished.
Absolutely, and certainly it's a tragic story. And even if a home is demolished, I don't I don't believe it really helps in any event. But certainly doesn't. I can't see how that brings the family of the victim any comfort. The an Israeli court ruled that forced gender segregation is not allowed at a public concert. I think this is interesting in Israel, where you've got this tension between various religious levels of observance. Tell us about the story.
So this is a court in Nazareth that ruled yesterday that the Haredi community who will be holding an event at a public park in Afula are not allowed to force gender segregation at this event. So this is an outdoor event. It's not even a public event indoors. It's outdoors in a park in Afula. And the Afula municipality was one of the supporters of this event. It involved a vocalist who was going to appeal to the Haredi community. And the people organizing the event had decided that they were going to ensure gender segregation such that men and women were completely separated, even for people who don't necessarily subscribe to that particular manner of doing things. And, you know, it's not only the Haredi community or people who are not members of the Haredi community who generally support that. I mean, there are many modern religious people who feel that gender segregation at an event like this is not necessarily required, and who would be quite happy to sit in mixed seating areas. But the organizers of this concert decided that they were going to impose it upon everybody who came along to the concert. And the court decided that the Haredi community and the organizers in particular had no right to impose gender segregation on all of those people who attend the concert. Those people who choose to sit separately are fully entitled to do that. And the court supported that by saying that the organizers could give the attendees the opportunity to choose which they wish to do. They might be able to have certain areas which are segregated, but they need at least to give the right to those people who wish to sit together to be able to do so, the same as the people who choose not to sit together. So I think that this is certainly an important ruling, because what it essentially says is that while the Haredi community are fully entitled to choose whatever they wish to choose and to do whatever they wish to do in private gatherings, when it comes to a public gathering, and particularly one which is outdoors, they can't impose their views upon everybody who attends the event. And of course, this is being turned, as you would expect, into a whole political football, with various people from within different parts of the government coming out and either supporting or criticizing the court's ruling. In particular, Bezalel Smotrich, the transportation minister, has called the court stupid after this decision. And he's saying that he went on to say he's sorry that, despite his senior position, that he couldn't find a more delicate word to use, but he felt that this was not the right decision. And of course, he doesn't come from a Haredi background. He's more from a modern Orthodox background, but nonetheless supporting the Haredi community in this particular instance. And of course, the whole issue then becomes whether the Haredi community will support the next government, will not support the next government. So it becomes a whole political football in the face of the fact that we have a general election coming up now, less than a month away from now. And so, of course, every little thing that happens from a religious point of view, and, of course, decisions by the court, will be, of course, interpreted by everybody in the way that they wish to. But I think that this is the right decision, which says people who come along to a public event are entitled to choose whatever they wish. If you wish to sit separately, you are entitled to do so. And if you wish to sit together, please go ahead and do so. I think that that is exactly what the Israeli democratic society is all about.
Absolutely. Anthony Reif, that's where we leave it. It is 8 o'clock. Thank you for, as always, your very insightful report and detailed report as to what's going on in Israel. We'll catch you same time, same place tomorrow. It is 8 o'clock.